Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferret.
Welcome to the Friday, August 5th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio right now. Join one of our regulars. He's a happy camper because that Intel plant is going to move forward. We're getting a little scary there for the last couple of weeks because of our Congress not doing the right thing. They finally saw the light and did the right thing. Dorsey Hagers, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Dorsey, how are we doing today, brother?
We are doing awesome. So first Friday in August, getting to spend some time with you, then going to get ready for the weekend, and then celebrate the signing of the CHIPS Act next week and start on the path to finding about 10,000 workers to help us build a facility to build microchips.
Yeah, you got a tall order there, getting all those workers together. We'll talk about that in a minute. But have you heard anything from the people at Intel about a new groundbreaking? Because it was supposed to happen, I believe, on July 22nd. Any reports of a new groundbreaking yet?
Yeah, so, obviously everything is in flux, but not only Intel, but us at the building trades, local and state level, and also the national level, obviously celebrating this great victory, the passage of the CHIPS Act. But looks like the groundbreaking is probably going to be set for early October. My take on it, and again, things are in flux and things are constantly moving, but, you know, we have laborers out there. We have operating engineers out there. They're doing site prep. They're doing site work. I would imagine after Labor Day, we'll really start to see some movement out there, probably get some iron workers out there getting ready to set pylons and stuff and help with all the iron coming out of the ground. And this is just going to be a massive, massive undertaking. And like you and I have talked about, it's not just the two fabs, the initial phase one of the chip plant, but it's also the water treatment plant. It's the offices and the office building that supports the chip plant. And then, you know, we've already got people out there working on infrastructure, roads, bridges, expansion out there in the Licking County, in the area around it. So it's exciting times. There's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of good things out there happening. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for not only people in Columbus and Franklin County, but all of Central Ohio to go to work for the building trades and get on that direct path to the middle class.
You and I talked about that water treatment last time. Can you repeat the amount of water that this plant is going to use? I mean, it's a ridiculous amount. What was that number again, Dorsey?
5 million gallons per day. 5 million gallons per day of water that'll run through this water treatment plant, be recycled and cleaned and used. That goes into the chip making manufacturing process. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to be out in Ocotillo, out in Arizona. I had the opportunity to be out in Portland. Obviously had several meetings with Pat Miller and his team from Intel. So to try to learn as much about it as I can, and it's just an absolute incredible prop, absolutely incredible. And the opportunities that we have here for not only reaching out to kids in high school to let them know when they graduate there's an opportunity there for them, but also kids in middle school because the work's going to be here so long. But also, you know, when I've talked to Senator Sherrod Brown, when I've talked to Congressman Tim Ryan, you know, some great electeds that really understand union, you know, the one thing that they really focus on too, which is something that we're all focusing on here, is the organizing aspect. You know, there's still people in Columbus, there's still people in Central Ohio, you know, that aren't making the industry standards, that are working in the construction industry, that don't have health and welfare, don't have pension, don't have annuity. And the opportunity to organize is just incredible. And I'll give you an example. One of our members, who's a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, he, like so many people do nowadays, he came up to me and he was, you know, blah, 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 this and that, talked to me about Intel. And I kind of went into it a little bit. He's like, man, that's a great opportunity. He's like, but in a couple of years when the work dries up, he's like, what are we going to do then? And I'm like, okay, first of all, you need to educate yourself a little bit. You need to read. The CHIPS Act is going to pass. This isn't going to be a three-year job. We're looking at 25 years just on that one project, and that's before we talk about any other work that's going on in Columbus and Central Ohio. So if you put that in perspective, when we go out and we're talking to people that are working open shop or non-union, and they say, well, yeah, I'd love to join the union, but, you know, My boss tells me I'm going to work for 6 months and then I'm going to get laid off. Now, as long as you show up every day and show up on time, we've got about 25 years worth of work in front of us. So we need people and we can use you and we'll put you right to work and you'll be right there. I mean, some of the kids just graduated from our most recent classes of Building Futures are so fortunate because some of them are going to have the ability to go out to Intel and not only spend their whole apprenticeship, which is unheard of, but could spend a big chunk, if not all of their career, right there, because we've seen that in Arizona and we've seen that in Portland. So it's an amazing opportunity. It's going to change the landscape of Columbus, of construction in Columbus and Central Ohio. And, you know, again, we're focusing on Intel, but there's so much other work. There's 30 suppliers in Central Ohio this week looking at land, looking at availability to either build or relocate here in support of Intel. So the opportunities are incredible. It's going to be a great time to be a building trades member here in Columbus and Central Ohio for the next 25 years.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Dorsey, if you don't mind. A lot of folks do not understand that long-term effect of Intel. And I bring this up because apparently in other locations in America where they broke ground, they did expand. So we're talking, like you mentioned, maybe 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the road. When they build these plants, it's almost like they have a business model to expand them before they even build them. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I was having this conversation with my wife the other night at dinner. I explained to her, I said, you know, you're not building a steel mill. You're not building a gas plant. We're not building a hospital where you get done and you turn the keys over and you walk away. There's always going to be building trades members in these facilities because there's constant maintenance. There's constant retooling. Not to get too much into the propriety of Intel, but, you know, when these wafers come off the assembly line and they have these microchips in them, they may have microchips that are something as basic that goes into the dome light of your car. But another wafer on another line may be retooled to produce, you know, microchips that go in to a missile defense system for the U.S. government. And that's why this is very, very important. That like you said, we get guys in here, and we get them trained, we get them ready, because, you know, this isn't going to be a 3, 4, 5, 7 year project where we walk away and turn over the keys. This is going to be constant work because there's always constant retooling of the fabs and the manufacturing lines. There's always maintenance. There's always upgrades. There's always, and back to the water treatment plant we talked about, you know, and that's not my area of specialties, but when we're talking about a $2 billion water treatment plant that's going to recycle 5 million gallons of water a day, there's going to be a lot of maintenance and upkeep in there. You know, there's going to be a lot of changeover like there is on any large scale, you know, manufacturing. Just like we keep people, you know, year round at Honda and places like that, we're going to have people here year round, whether there's construction going on or not, just doing maintenance. But I can easily see, like you said, their plans for expansion, you know, where they do phase one and it's two fabs and then they do a second phase and there's two more fabs and they've got the land. And now with the CHIPS Act, they've got the financing available. And with the help of our state government, you know, with the infrastructure dollars and everything, they've got everything around it where the plan could be 8 fabs, 4 phases that could go on for 22 years.
Amazing. A $2 billion water treatment plant. Now, Dorsey, do you have any calculations? That alone has to create a lot of jobs. Have you boiled that down yet or no?
That's funny you said that. I was in a meeting the other day and it's kind of, you know, paying attention, listening, but I had my phone out and I'm thinking of phase one of Intel, you know, and I've got the man hours in my head. So I did a little math and then I was thinking of the water treatment plant. And I did the math and, you know, I heard some numbers on the office building and support complex and I did the math. It's just, you know, it's just astronomical. And I had a great conversation and a great meeting with Dan Potee yesterday. He's my business manager. And I said, you know, we have local union in this town, depending on the trade, that have X amount of members. I said, not only are they going to have X amount of members, but they're going to have that same amount of members just working out there at Intel. You know, we're going to have local unions. Most are going to have to double. Some are going to have to triple. It's just the facts. I was out last night. We were talking to some people about Building Futures, and Kelly Harrop was giving her presentation. And she said something that I don't even realize sometimes, that Columbus is the second largest city in the Midwest. And boy, we're really starting to see that now. I mean, and the one thing that was told to us by our folks in Portland and Arizona is Intel's not going to be it. You know, not just all the suppliers that they're going to bring, but once the infrastructure's in place, their competitors are going to want to come out here and build chips too, because everything in the groundwork will have already been laid. So
right.
I just think there's going to be a ton more opportunities, and we've really got to do what we can to work our butts off, like I said, you know, to organize, to get our workforce development programs beefed up, to keep out, getting out in the trade schools, the high schools and the middle schools. And, you know, I said this last night at dinner a few years ago, you know, I was very leery of talking about the wages and benefits of our building trades members because we had the stigma, unjust, obviously, of that lazy union guy that makes a lot of money, right? And yeah, that was kind of the stigma. And I think we've obviously shaken that. Now, you know, when I go to a school or when I go to a trades fair or when I go to a jobs fair and a mom or dad says, I don't know, you know, my son being a pipe fitter, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. And I said, listen, I said, not everybody. I said, but the opportunity is there. We're going to have building trades members at Intel for the next 25 years making $175,000 a year. And their eyes just, you know, and that's a 4 or 5 year apprenticeship, debt free, you know, no, you know, the only expense, I tell this all the time, the only expense is your time.
That's a game changer. No doubt about that. Dorsey Hager joining us on our live line. He is the executive secretary treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle. You can follow him at BuildCentralOH. And I'll tell you, that's so appropriate for what we're talking about. Let's go back to Columbus. Join a really busy guy. He's going to be busy for years to come. That would be Dorsey Hager, executive secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, we had this primary a couple days ago. It's a primary that cost taxpayers $20 million, and they were voting on maps that are not really legal. It's amazing what goes on in politics today. But anyway, it's done. I'm sure you are in the middle of it all. Dorsey, got a recap on what happened. Winners, losers, all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we'll talk about a couple of races, and then obviously I'll get to the one close to my heart with Kelly Harrop. So I was kind of on primary night, and, you know, it was with such a low voter turnout, we had some results pretty early. So I'll kind of step outside of my area. A good friend of mine, he does some work for us in his day job. I've known him for a long time. He's a great guy. He lives out in the Urbana area, and he was drawn into Nino Vitale's district. His name's Tim Barhorse, but Nino Vitale, term limited, Nino's wife ran. So if you look at it from the outside, you know, it looked like a no-brainer with the name ID that Nino's wife would win that primary. My friend and our friend of the building trades, Tim Barhorse, came out victorious, ran a great race, did a really good job, got out and talked to voters. So that gets us another building trades pro-union person on the Republican side in there because, you know, all these primaries are pretty much gerrymandered. So whoever wins the Republican primary in that district is obviously going to go to the state house. So that's some good news. The bad news is, speaking of Intel in that area, a really good friend of mine that was, you know, working his butt off trying to help his people in his region, Mark Frazier, former Newark City councilman and current incumbent state rep, was taken out by an ABC guy, Thaddeus Claggett. So that's a blow there. And then another friend of ours, Sean Stevens in Delaware County, appointed incumbent, took over for Rick Carfagna, who was a big pro-labor moderate Republican. He was taken out by the communications director for ABC, and her last name's Lear. I cannot remember her first name. So we got to keep our eye on that one as well, which that's really tough. And then here in Central Ohio, all the primaries were pretty much uncontested except for District 3, which was Kelly Harrop and four other men. And people might say, well, why would five people run, you know, in a primary? Well, it drew a lot of interest because there was no incumbent, obviously. So it was a district that's about a 40-40 split, African-American about 40-42%, white about 40-42%. So it was a 50-50 district. And the African-American community had a candidate that they kind of coalesced behind. Obviously, we coalesced behind the labor candidate, Kelly Harrop. She did a great job with a lot of support, a lot of help, and a lot of endorsements from people like the Teamsters and the IBW and Cleveland Building Trades and Toledo Building Trades and State Building Trades and ACT Ohio and IUPAT and the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. And I'm sure I'm missing a few. And some local electeds, Eric Brown, Marilyn Brown, who used to be Frank County Commissioner, Danny O'Connor, County Recorder, who worked his butt off on this race and lended a lot of help and support as well. She ran a hell of a race. She did a great job. You know, 26 years old, youngest person in the race. She raised more money than all the others. She got out. We knocked on doors. We did everything we could. Then on election night, we were excited and looking for some finality. And the finality is this: with about 5,500 votes cast and still about 500 votes left to be counted because of provisionals and absentees and overseas military ballots that got to be sorted, opened, and counted, she's down 37 votes. So there's about 500 votes out there. 37 votes left, and we kind of had a nice moment the other day, and I was sitting there and I was talking to her because, you know, Wednesday morning comes and, you know, you can't keep looking at the TV. You know, it's hey, 10,000 people, Intel, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, you know, investors coming in to talk about building futures, the CHIPS Act, the bill signing, the ground break, you know, so we can't, you know, we had to get out of campaign mode for a little bit, which was nice because it was an end of the 16 and 18 hour days for a couple of minutes. But I said, hey, I said, you know, Kelly, I said, no matter what happens, whether you come out on top or you don't, I said, what an experience for a 26-year-old. What a great race she ran. And I told her this, and I've had the opportunity in my labor career to volunteer and help and work on campaigns. You know, we were very fortunate a couple years ago to get Rob Dorrance on city council, and Rob's a tremendous person, a great friend of mine. But I told Kelly, I said, this was the most fun I've ever had on a campaign. I mean, going to political forums that the NAACP put on, at the Baptist Church, and hearing some of the things that were said, and but the positives, not only on Kelly and not only on the building trades and the building futures and driving futures and how we're committed to helping the underserved community and putting you know, people of color and women to work, you know, was just incredible. And then, you know, I went to another campaign forum with her where there was a debate, and at Linden Rec Center. And I mean, for Kelly to stand there and everyone else is touting workforce development and what they do in the community to help others, and for her to say, listen, every day I put people to work in good paying jobs with great benefits, and this place that we're at today is the place that labor built. This is one of the jobs where we place people because it had a community benefit agreement from the city. And that really resonated, and she built a lot of support. Like I said, even if she doesn't come out on top, I know there'll be more opportunities down the road. And the texts and phone calls and emails and messages that I got in the last 2 or 3 days about the respect of the campaign that we all ran together. And one person I forgot to mention was her campaign manager, Bridget Toops, who obviously does a great job and was responsible for getting Rob Dorrance re-elected on city council. But just all the messages and stuff from Republicans, Democrats, men, women, black, white, gay, straight, on how Kelly handled herself and the maturity that she showed was just incredibly impressive. And I know I'm a little biased, but whether it's politics or something else, this young lady has an extremely high ceiling, and she's, whatever she chooses to do in the future, she's going to go very, very far.
What a campaign. 26 years old. That's amazing. First crack at it.
It was great.
Dad, too.
It was great. It was just an awesome, awesome experience. I mean, just a ton of fun. I mean, election day at 4 a.m., we were out putting out signs, pole standing all day. It was just a blast, just a fun. And then, yeah, like I said, the forums and the raising the money, just great opportunity and a great time.
Well, this is going to take a couple of weeks to unwind, and we'll probably have the results here on America's Workforce in a couple of weeks, as soon as we get them. So do pass them on, and we could talk more about it in next month. And, you know, we're pretty much out of time. I've got Fred Redmond on line number two right now.
Fridays with FLC. Fred. All right.
That's right. First Friday with Fred. I love that segment. So
First Friday with Fred.
You take care, my friend. Keep rustling up some workers down there. I don't want to hold you up, okay, buddy?
All right. I appreciate you so much. Thanks again for having me on here. And next time we talk, it's going to be Friday after Labor Day, and we'll be staring pro football and the Cleveland Browns right in the face. So I'm looking forward to it.
Dorsey, I have to correct you. It's the Friday before Labor Day on your next segment.
Oh!
Yeah, okay.
Friday
before. We'll get you in the ramp-up mode, okay, buddy?
There we go. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Flash.